Please pray with me. Gracious Lord, we thank you for this blessed day. We thank you that we are here to praise and worship you. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, my Lord and our rock. Amen. Biblical stories are stories of our Christian faith. These stories inform us about the development of our individual and corporate faith. They tell us who we are and whose we are. They tell us how God dealt and continues to deal with his creation here on earth. Biblical stories imply that God is kind, caring, graceful, lovely, compassionate, and that God is responsible to his creation. They tell us about events that resonate with our lives, our daily lives, and from which we can take consolation when we find ourselves overwhelmed. These stories and parables and images from Genesis to Revelation imply that though sometimes we choose to turn away from God, God is still at work to sustain, promote, and help his creation. For the past 2 weeks, Sundays, Pastor Carty talked about Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, and she talked about how Adam and Eve disobeyed God and hid from God and went to somewhere else she called Australia. But God had compassion on them and went in search of them and brought them back to his fold. She told us how Cain killed his brother Abel simply out of jealousy, but that God lovingly defended Cain. This morning, we will look at one of the controversial stories in the Bible, the story of Noah and the flood, Noah and the collection of animals, Menagerie. But before we proceed with this text, it is important to know and note that these biblical stories and events developed in ancient Israel, the ancient world we now call Near East, which is now modern-day Middle East. And the discoveries of modern science and studies have shed further light on some of these events, and some of these Near Eastern events, including Noah and the flood. Biblical interpretation may change over time, but God's relationship with his children and with his creation will never change. God is the author of nature and the one who inspires the biblical stories for us today. And so in the light of this, we should believe that Noah's story and the flood narrative in no way conflict with what is discovered in the natural world or in the scientific world. The biblical stories are records of encounter between Almighty God and ordinary human beings that lived thousands of years ago. John Walton, a biblical scholar, states, "The Bible was written for us all, but it was not written to us today." And so, that for us to understand what the story of Noah and the flood means, we first need to understand what it meant to those who wrote and received it. Ancient Israel were people who expressed themselves in terms of their geographical surroundings to communicate a message or to communicate God's word. The image of the flood covering the face of the earth and killing all creatures but one man and his family and a few creatures, animals, was a way to express God's message and to make a point by these ancient Near Eastern people. And so when we read this story through the lens of ancient history and literature, we see that ancient Israel, like many other ancient Near Eastern people, thought much about their surroundings and how they thought about their surroundings. These people were without any scientific means or evidences. They see the universe as it appeared to them day by day. They thought that rain comes from an ocean up the sky and that this ocean surrounds the whole earth. These people, for the most part, thought the earth as simply the edge of their surroundings, the edge of their cities, the edge of their town. Here is a snapshot of these three stories, biblical stories in Genesis. God created it all perfect. He did everything for his creation that he could have. And then the fall. Adam and Eve sinned. And that brought a curse on them. But God forgave them and brought them back. He went in search of them and brought them back to his fold. And then man created another problem. This time through Cain. And then another curse. God intervened and saved the human condition. And then man continued to sin again to create problems. And then. Then God would grieve, according to the text. Then came the flood, as the text indicates. This time, the human race suffered a lot, and everything with its breath and its nostrils suffered. Only a single family and few animals were saved, collection of animals. And after this comes the mercy of God. And for this reason, we now look at Noah and his family and the remnants of the animals collected. The text indicates that Noah walked with God. He was blameless and he was righteous. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But imagine what Noah may have gone through during this time, 40 days or 50 days or how many days, with a collection of animals. Imagine all the animals in that boat, what kind of struggle they all might have gone through. Imagine the lion chasing the antelope. Imagine the tiger looking at the goat, something good for breakfast. Imagine the python looking at the rat for the dinner. Maybe there was partition. But this is a rare collection, a collection of animals. What an intervention Noah must have done during those days, telling this, don't do this, don't do that, coming around, making sure that the animals are fed, even with their body odors. If you watch the Geographical Channel today, he will definitely say this was a miracle. And indeed, it could have been a miracle for all these animals, collection of animals in that boat, and nothing happened. Not even a python trying to snap on a cat or a lion or tiger trying to chase a goat for lunch. But for the fact that God waited for Noah to build a ark or boat and gave him an idea how to deal with all the animals, the fact that God walked with Noah through the flood indicates an act of kindness and mercy and compassion, something we call today in theological term the grace of God. What do you think of this story? Is it just a human invention, or is it an account of a divine inspiration? What do you think about it? From your Sunday school days up to now, your adult days, what do you think about this story? It is my belief that God chose to communicate his message through ordinary people like me and you, and God accommodating himself to our limited knowledge, so in order to draw us to him and understand who he is. We may have scientific data today, but God did not give the ancient Israelites scientific data, nor did he give them new styles of literature. They expressed themselves in their context, like the flood story, just to make a point. The text implies that it was because of the wickedness of man, sin, and evil that the flood occurred. And to make a point, the evil of today and the evil or the sin in the days of the ancient Near Eastern people probably will be the same, or probably not. When we look at what is evil and sin and what is good in our modern days, we begin to see a slightly different trend to that of the ancient Israelite people. We have our own flood. We have our own flood in this nation and in the other nations of the world and in the world itself. And the cause of our own flood today is more of segregation, racism, looking at others as outsiders, labeling people with names, drawing lines between people, the we and the they. Evil is stopping people from accessing good things, good medical opportunities, food, shelter, education, and even peace. Evil is when we tend to demonize, demoralize, denigrate other people to the point that their dignity and humanity are lost. Evil is when we sit at homes and do nothing about the plight of other people, but still we call ourselves as God's people and Christians. Evil is when we do things we are not supposed to do, and things we are supposed to do, we don't do them. The cause of our own flaw today is sin. To you and me, that we try to abandon all those negative thoughts. The cause of our own flight today is to be who we are and what God has sent us to be. Some people will say, "You don't belong here." Some people will say, "Where are you from?" And that's one of the questions most people ask me since I've been in this country. They ask me, "Daniel, where are you from?" And I will say, "I'm from San Jose." And then they will ask me, "No, not that, not that. Where are you from?" I say, "Okay, you don't know where I'm from San Jose. But where are you from?" And then the topic will change. From the text, I see God's grace at work in restoring his creation. Irrespective of natural disasters, irrespective of our differences and catastrophic events in the world, like the flood all over around, hearing about tsunamis, earthquakes, genocide, God is still at work. And God invites me and you to join in this work of restoration. Our flood can only subside if we amend all the barriers that kicked other people out of sight. The grace is here, just like Noah found grace in the sight of God. It is here, in this sanctuary now. It is for me and for you and for all of God's creation. It is in you and in me. God's grace is for you and for me to work together to better our communities. That grace is for us to draw strategies for our world, our communities, so that our children now and those yet unborn of every race, culture, color, can look at each other's face in the future and see God's face. For God's grace for me and you is to accept one another as we are, irrespective of our differences. God's grace is for us to be in constant conversation about the way forward to make our communities a better place, so that others can come in and experience what it means to be united in Christ. The biblical flood story proclaims the marvelous good news of grace and love for his creation. That love is also manifested in the life and teachings and work of Jesus Christ. Let us take it and be with it and live with it. Amen.